Peak Radio Daily for halfway day as far as the week. But for everybody else, well, yes, welcome to it. It is May 6th, which means the 6th has indeed returned.
Huh?
How does it do with the thing? Okay. Hi, everybody. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from all the places that you do. The folks that are bringing it up to you today, well, the man that's had to come up with new and inventive ways to entertain himself in the course of all this, that there is podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Is it true that there is a place in a man's head that if you shoot it, it will blow up?
I don't think that's entirely true, but...
It's my experience.
It's the kind of thing that I like to learn all about. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
This could be responsible for your subnormal intelligence.
Well, that or running into the air conditioner. What happened, Joe?
In 1896, the Aerodrome No. 5 makes the first successful flight of an unpiloted engine-driven heavier-than-air craft of substantial size. You know, just call it Husky. It's okay. It can handle it.
1925, John Logie Baird is granted a British patent for a spiral scanning disc, which makes his mechanical television possible.
Ooh, 1949, the Electronic Delayed Storage Automatic Computer, or EDSAC, the first practical stored program computer, runs its first program and performs its first calculation.
Interesting side note, Syrinx's first band was called EDSAC. 1962, the first U.S. nuclear warhead fired from a Polaris submarine is launched. The submerged USS Ethan Allen test fires a Polaris A2 missile with a live nuclear warhead across the Pacific Ocean toward Christmas Island, 1,700 miles away. This is for not getting me my BB gun, Santa.
It was originally supposed to be Ed's AC, but nobody took it seriously. 1982, according to Twin Galaxies, Eric Jenner, age 20, scores 1,140,070 points playing the Atari game Dig Dug after playing the game for 55 minutes at the Central Park Center in Mountain View, California.
1991, Sierra Online announces the Sierra Network, a dial-up modem access service for playing computer games with other people.
What?
It'll never catch on. 1998, Sony releases the DualShock controller for the PlayStation in the U.S.
Many of you know that best as the remapped Nintendo 64 controller. 2002, in San Jose, California, the Apple Worldwide Developers Conference is held. At the event, Steve Jobs unveils the latest Mac OS version, codenamed Jaguar, and Atari said, "We tried that."
And of course, Carol Baskins immediately filed a complaint. In 2003, CCP Games releases the persistent world massively multiplayer online role-playing game, or MMORPG, EVE Online, for the PC in the UK and US.
2004, version 1.0 of Paint.net is released. It's a bitmap graphics editor for Windows developed on the .NET framework, hence the name. Birthdays?
Tierra Scovby, 25, Polly on Riverdale, and Once Upon a Time.
Naomi Scott is 27 from Power Rangers, the 2017 version. Jasmine in the live-action Aladdin, and Charlie's Angels, I believe, the most recent version. So, you know, just remakes. That's all she does.
Gabri Sidibe is 37, from American Horror Story, Empire, and of course Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Adrian Palacki is 37 from Mercy Reef, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., G.I. Joe Retaliation, and The Orville.
Lindsay Pulsifer, 38, Crystal on True Blood.
Isn't that a job in Harry Potter, the Pulsifer? Kevon Smith is 50 from Mission to Mars, the 4400, Stargate Atlantis, and Eureka.
George Clooney, 59 and getting better looking and better looking. From Return of the Killer Tomatoes, From Dusk Till Dawn, Batman and Robin, Oh Brother Where Art Thou, Ocean's 11, The Men Who Stare at Goats, Tomorrowland, it just keeps going.
Lynn Whitfield is 67 from Dr. Detroit, Jaws the Revenge, Head of State, and Greenleaf.
Susan Brown is 74. She was Bridget on Torchwood and Spetta on Game of Thrones.
No longer with us, born this date in 1856, Sigmund Freud, an Austrian neurologist and psychoanalyst and a big cigar aficionado.
He's one bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
Just talking about Freud.
I can dig it.
1895, Rudolph Valentino.
The Sheik. Ask your great-great-great-grandma, I think it is. 1904, Raymond Bailey from Herbie Rides Again, but you best know him as Mr. Drysdale on the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yes. 1913, Stuart Granger. He played Alan Quartermain in King Solomon's Mines.
1915, Orson Welles from Citizen Kane, Touch of Evil, Le Chiffre in Casino Royale, Nero Wolfe, The Muppet Movie, History of the World Part 1, and of course his final performance in Transformers, the movie.
Oh, the original Casino Royale? He played Le Chiffre?
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that. And 1952, Michael O'Hare. He was Jeffrey Sinclair on Babylon 5.
I was going to make a Deep Space Nine joke there, but some people are still upset.
Aw, specifically Michael J. Straczynski.
Right?
CBS, we've got a new Survivor, SEAL Team, and SWAT.
ABC, it's a new The Goldberg. Single Parents, American Housewife. Single Parents again, then Shark Tank. Rawr.
NBC has reruns of the Chi Tri. That's your Chicago Meds, your Fires, and your PIDs.
Fox, a quarter mask crisis, the quarterfinals on The Masked Singer, and then after The Masked Singer. Chris Hardwick is doing that one too. I don't know.
No, I think they got Joel McHale at this point in time. Okay. CW has Jughead working on a warped story regarding the gang's revenge fantasy involving Principal Honey. They've been reading my fanfic on a new Riverdale in a rerun of Bulletproof.
Freeform, the witch's training concludes at City Drop, and during the final training exercise, devastating secrets come to light on a new motherland, Fort Salem.
AMC has Fury. Is that the Tank movie?
It is.
That's good.
But it's not Tank with James Garner, and that's a shame because that's better. FX, after experimenting with humor in the workplace, Colin Robinson gets a promotion at work on What We Do in the Shadows.
FXX has Jumanji. Welcome to the Jungle!
FXM, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul.
IFC has The Long Offseason on a new Brockmire.
BBC America is showing Legion. That's the movie, not the TV show, that is so much better than the movie.
Siffy has Constantine. Just remember, it's in a different universe.
Yeah, TBS has a new Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, still not living up to the
name. TNT, Shaq's shocking new roommates on a new Shaq Life.
Science Channel, we get a new Mega Machines, but we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network, because when an art gallery owner and a mother is swamped with work, she enlists the help of a party planner to create her daughter's Sweet 16, oblivious of the woman's murderous intentions and desire to have a daughter of her own. Lindsay McKeon, Katrina Began star in Psycho Party Planner.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Abby gets trapped by the evil witch Kate, who steals the princess's youth. Chad and the mysterious White Knight try to save the princess and restore her appearance. Abby takes a moment. While she knows her situation is grim, she has the confidence and talent of an archer and the determination of a G.I. Joe. Hashtag Chabby forever.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
Good morning, GRD. Because of university rivalries, my fellow Boise State alums slash fans simultaneously believe the University of Ohio deliberately chose to clone a mule to mock our mascot, but also only refer to a clone beast as Buster to co-opt the joke. Also, Chad and Abby are defying reality on... By the way, it's single-season shows like this and being too young to understand things like TV seasons and network turnover, etc., that meant when Brave Star came out, I didn't watch it because I'd been burned over getting attached to a cartoon, and then it disappeared forever. Cheers. That's from Jared in Anaheim. Well, yeah, Jared, that's always a bummer when things disappear like that. Firefly! And Boise State, I got no idea what you mules are up to, but I think you should stop before you make an ass of yourselves. Oh, God, do you have a really bad pun or a joke that you can send to us? By all means, drop that note, won't you? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or tell us all about it in a voicemail simply by dialing
510-GRD-CROW.
When it comes to jokes about Idaho, I only have eyes for you. Just potatoes have eyes, and I'll see myself out.
Everyone, no matter how big a geek you are, has movies that they haven't seen that have other geeks saying, how have you never seen this movie? Well, we're here to help. At the Now You've Seen It podcast, we help you fill those gaps in your geek cred one movie at a time. Each episode, a guest who is watching the movie for the first time joins our rotating cast of hosts and panelists to discuss the movie and compare seeing it through fresh eyes versus seeing it with eyes filtered through the lens of nostalgia. You can find Now You've Seen It on Facebook at facebook.com/nowyouveseenit, no apostrophe, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, it's Tony Todd. You're listening to Geek Radio Daily. Stay tuned or drop out. God bless you.
And drop out in that fun way. You know what I'm talking about. No? Ask your parents. Ask your granddad. He totally knows what I'm talking about.
Okay. And we're off.
Warriors, unsheath your weapons. Magic wielders, raise your wands.
Let me check my polyhedral dice. Turns out I have frost giant strength.
Look it up.
It's a thing. You got to know your stats. What can we play now, sir, since comics are not quite back, although DC is and they're here on yesterday?
Well, based on the award-winning fantasy trilogy by one of science fiction and fantasy's greatest wordsmiths, Lioness transports you to the Elder Isles, where King Casimir plots to seize control of the Ten Kingdoms, assassinate his foes, and prevent a disturbing prophecy from being fulfilled. Elsewhere, the magicians Shimrod, Mergen, and Tamarello are locked in a private battle of will, wit, and magical intrigue. All the while, the brutal, disdainful Ska are drawing their own plans of conquests. It must be very difficult to find medieval versions of saxophones. In Lioness, fantasy role-playing based on the novels by Jack Vance from Design Mechanism.
And trombones are right out. Flying Circus is an in-depth, highly detailed, powered by the apocalypse-derived role-playing game of aviation fantasy set in the world of machines and magic inspired by the works of Hayao Miyazaki. Flying Circus features 10 unique playbooks with both strong hooks to get started immediately, considerable framework for customization, progression over the course of a long campaign, and it comes packed with 48 unique aircrafts, historical and fantastical, to populate your games, as well as a variety of threats, mission prompts, advanced rules, and GM advice. Flying Circus, core rulebook from Newsstand Press.
I call dibs on the Minister of Silly Walks. In Dishonored, the role-playing game, players delve into the turbulent Empire of the Isles to tell stories of occult lore, intrigue, and drama. The Dishonored core book contains all the rules and background information you need to kickstart your adventure. The 308-page full-color PDF rulebook features an introduction to the Empire of the Isles and an in-depth look at its history, its people, and the struggle they face. A step-by-step guide to play the role of the protagonists, from grim assassins and rugged criminals to intrepid explorers and stoic crown loyalists. A host of antagonists and a myriad different story hooks to inspire you from the harsh, cold lands of Tivia to sunny Karnaca. Insight on the strange nature of the void, as well as rules to harness the reality-bending powers. The Oil Train, a mini-campaign in 4X that serves as a perfect introduction to the city of Dunwall for Dishonored, the role-playing game.
The Alien Tabletop Role-Playing Game is a beautifully illustrated full-color book of 392 pages presenting the world of Alien in the year 2183 in a fast and effective rule set designed specifically to enhance the Alien experience. It supports two modes, cinematic play based on pre-made scenarios that emulate the dramatic art of an alien film, campaign play designed for longer, continuous play with the same cast of player characters over mini-game sessions, letting you explore the alien universe freely, sandbox style. Don't want to see what aliens put in a sandbox. It's Alien RPG Core Rulebook from Free League Publishing.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. In a movie we all saw coming, Thor Ragnarok director Taika Waititi has also been working on The Mandalorian. Directing and acting is now doing a Star Wars movie. It was bound to happen at one point or another.
You cannot escape your destiny.
According to an official announcement on the Star Wars blog, Waititi will co-write and direct a Star Wars film. A theatrical release, the next big collaboration between him and the House of Mouse. Joining him in screenwriting duties is Christy Wilson-Carnes. Wilson-Carnes is an Academy Award nominee who most recently had a hand in 1917. Huh? Needless to say, between her and the Oscar-winning Waititi, there'll be a lot of talent behind this new film.
And he was very honest to her. He said he wouldn't even be nice to her. It doesn't pay much.
There is no release date for the film, but it doesn't take an expert to realize it's still some time away. His next blockbuster is Thor Love and Thunder, another obligation to Disney. As such, we know that's not going anywhere. That's going to hit February 11, 2022, and oddly enough, the next Star Wars movie is scheduled to release in the winter of 2022, if I can wait that long.
Patience you must have, my young Padawan.
It does seem unlikely that 2022 is going to work, because, I mean, after Thor, Love, and Thunder, he's going to want to do an indie film, so maybe 2024 is best for the Star Wars movie? But what does that mean for the 2022 date?
There's always a bigger fish.
Given Lucasfilm's history with directors, they should focus all their efforts on making sure this movie happens. And Mr. Waititi, stay focused on getting this done. I mean, I know you're the chosen one. You have brought balance to this world. Stay on this path, and you'll do it again for the galaxy. But beware your heart. This is the way.
There aren't many actors and actresses that can put their body on the line more than Tom Cruise. He is well known for doing his stunts to try and shoot the most realistic action sequences possible. During the filming of Mission Impossible Fallout, they had to pause filming after he broke his ankle leaping from one rooftop to the other.
Though there are plenty who say it was when he slipped off the box he stands on to be taller than his co-stars.
Well, it looks like for his next trick in cinematography, it's going to be shooting a film in outer space. No, that is not a typo. Cruz and Elon Musk's SpaceX are working on a project with NASA. This would be the first narrative feature film to be shot in outer space.
Even if you believe Apollo 18 was real, that would be a documentary.
This would be an action-adventure film, but not a Mission Impossible film.
Well, it isn't a romance. I mean, we've already had the best zero-G sex scene ever, thanks to moving violations.
Currently, there is no studio attached to the project. It's in its early stages of planning, but if they somehow pull this off, it would put Cruise in a category of his own in Hollywood history.
The category of being better in a movie the less you're in it, that club with Matthew McConaughey and Vin Diesel?
And of all of the actors that could pull this off, Cruise may be the one to do it. Now let's think about some of the stunts that he has done in the past. The list includes hanging from a helicopter, hanging from the side of a jet plane during takeoff, and scaling the Burj Khalifa, a Dubai skyscraper, and executing stunts 123 floors up. By the way, fun fact, he turns 58 in July.
My favorite stunt of his was jumping on Oprah's couch.
This sounds very dangerous and expensive, but if it works out, more and more movies are going to start shooting in space, which means it is only a matter of time before Dom and the gang try and save people on board some transportation who get kidnapped. Prepare yourselves for Fast X and Furious X, the taking of the great space coaster.
The documentary miniseries Tiger King, Murder, Mayhem, and Madness from Netflix took the world by storm. Joe Exotic had gained a level of fame that he could only have dreamt of. Sadly for him, he has had to hear all about it from prison, because it's inspired a wide variety of memes and even a dance on social media, and other studios are looking to cash in.
I'm sure y'all got a story to tell.
Imagine Television Studios and CBS TV Studios are in production of an 8-episode scripted series about the Tiger King, set to star Nicolas Cage. And the series is going to explore how Joe Shriver Bogavacaba became Joe Exotic and how he got lost in his character.
Well, I'm outspoken, good-looking, love to party and have fun.
The series is based on the Texas Monthly article Joe Exotic, A Dark Journey into the World of a Man Gone Wild by Leif Reigstad. CBS has optioned the article in June of last year. Under his overall deal with CBS Studios, Dan Lagana will serve as writer, showrunner, executive producer. Imagine's Brian Grazer, Sammy Kim Falvey will serve as executive producer. Cage will also serve as an executive producer via Saturn Films.
Your whole audience will say, oh my God, that guy has a mullet.
This will be the first time that Nicolas Cage has had a regular television role. He's better known for movies like Face Off, National Treasure, Gone in 60 Seconds. He also has an Academy Award for Best Actor for Leaving Las Vegas. Upcoming for Cage is The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent and Pig.
You see, he's a completely insane, gay, gun-toting, drug addict fanatic who can eat a peach for hours.
So how crazy is Cage going to get for this? I mean, is this going to be one of his reined-in, somewhat a la The Weatherman performances? Or his full-blown, not the bees, not the bees? The real question is, who will be playing the role of Carol Baskin? I wonder if Lindsay Lohan's available.
I tell you, you get that gal out there and I'll tell you what's really going on.
Because 2020 is trying to be the worst year on record, author Stephanie Meyer, more than a decade after revealing, then pulling the companion novel that would retell Twilight from the vampire's point of view, Meyer has announced that Midnight Sun is finally getting released this summer.
Which means I have to read it. I decided as long as I'm going to hell, I might as well do it thoroughly.
Meyer announced the new release date of Midnight Sun on Good Morning America after a tease on her personal website, causing it to crash, saying that the companion novel would be coming out on August 4th. It's the next in a series of 2000s YA franchises that have gotten new novels. For example, The Hunger Games prequel, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, which focuses on future President Snow, comes out on May 19th and already has a movie deal.
It should have been a movie that answers the question of why would anyone ever want to care about PETA?
Yeah, don't shit on the pedophiles. In a video statement, Meyer said she wasn't sure if she should release this book.
Let me answer that. No!
That had been on the shelf for over a decade, but a combination of fan response and the times we're living in prompted her to finally share it with us.
When life offers you a dream so far beyond any of your expectations, it's not unreasonable to grieve when it comes to an end.
Midnight Sun was first announced over a decade ago with a planned 2008 release date, 3 years after the series debuted with Twilight in the same year as its final chapter, Breaking Dawn. It would serve as a companion novel to the original series, telling the story of Twilight, from Edward Cullen's perspective. However, a first draft of the book's opening later leaked online, which prompted an angered Meyer to pull the release indefinite and release a statement on her website.
And prove that pirates are heroes.
I did not want my readers to experience Midnight Sun before it was completed, edited, and published. I think it is important for everybody to understand that what happened was a huge violation of my rights as an author, not to mention me as a human being.
And now she's finally learned how I felt reading Twilight.
It's unclear how much of Midnight Sun has been changed in the 12 years since it was first postponed. Maybe Edward Cullen is a quarantine beard now.
He's always had Bella.
Midnight Sun comes out on August 4th. Twilight. Again. Another ending. No matter how perfect the day is, it always has to end.
You may remember the great Donkey Kong controversy of 2018, the one that I giggled so hard over, the one that stripped divisive arcade gamer Billy Mitchell of a years-long reign as Donkey Kong of Guinness World Records, and his name on all the leaderboards. Now, Mitchell has filed a defamation suit against Twin Galaxies, the scorekeeper of the land, which ruled his record scores illegitimate, citing a litany of positive media write-ups, declaring him to be one of the all-time best arcade gamers. The complaint argues that the rejected score was part of a conspiracy of malice in an attempt to get internet clicks, and that Twin Galaxies had called him a cheater.
No matter what I say, it draws controversy. It's sort of like the abortion issue.
Oh, God, Billy Mitchell. Footage of his over 1 million point score, the subject of the 2007 documentary The King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters, fueled a public blowup in 2017 when a user on the Twin Galaxies forum noticed the graphics displaying the video of Mitchell's gameplay appeared to have been produced on MAME emulation software, which could theoretically be manipulated to speed the game up, rather than the original arcade hardware. As one investigator pointed out, the arcade version tellingly generates images in strips. Duh. According to the declaration by Twin Galaxy CEO Jason Hall, the original dispute claim thread was viewed nearly 2.4 million times, with 107 unique contributors and 3,770 entries, ending with a public vote of 198-13 in support of the evidence against Mitchell.
Well, maybe they'd like it if I lose. I gotta try losing sometime.
Twin Galaxies launched a two-month, multi-thousand-dollar investigation involving the procurement of Mitchell's recording hardware, high-speed camera, several VCRs, and live-streamed public demonstration. In the end, they ruled Mitchell would no longer hold the record as the first player to hit 1 million points in Donkey Kong and expunged him from their competitive leaderboards, including his flawless Pac-Man performance and high score, which Guinness wiped as well. Oddly enough, Team Billy enlisted engineer Carlos Pinheiro to perform an analysis of the direct output video recording device that Mitchell used, which Twin Galaxy used to support their own findings.
He's the person he is today because he came under the wrath of Bill Mitchell.
The 2018 statement reflected with malaise. Anyone looking into their own past with honesty and a desire to improve will likely find things potentially messy and uncomfortable. With this ruling, it concluded, Twin Galaxies can no longer recognize Billy Mitchell as the first million-point Donkey Kong record holder. It never actually used the word cheater, but instead formally asserts that Mitchell's use of a system other than the original unmodified DK Arcade PCB did not follow the competitive rules. Mitchell did not directly respond to a request for evidence.
Competitive gaming. When you want to attach your name to a world record, when you want your name written into history, you have to pay the price.
Mitchell has threatened to sue the Guinness World Records as well, stating,
if Guinness publishes a world record for the video game arena or some other arena, and you have a person being able to challenge that record or Guinness's decision to wipe their record in court, well, Guinness isn't going to want to take that risk.
He said, because in typical fashion...
Well, Billy Mitchell always has a plan.
GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Non-Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. The Guinness Book of World Records has held up, what, over 100 years now? I think they're going to be okay.
I think actually they hold the record for that.
Ha ha! There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, just send us a missive by voice. Just dial the magical numbers of
510-GRD.
And we'll get together again. Because, you know, what else are we going to do?
I think I'm out of witty banter.
That was lame.
Blah, 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 blah.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
Damage averted. All systems operative.
Under the Rush Act, the Senate has empowered me to end this strike.
I'm authorized to use any means necessary. Correct, Mr. Zento?
Yes, any means necessary.
Am I assured of your full support on this?
Absolutely.
Then under that authority, I choose the following means to end this strike. One, I am reallocating 1.3 million credits from Babylon 5's military budget to begin necessary upgrades of all dockside equipment and to start hiring additional workers.
All right!
Two, I am declaring a complete amnesty for any striking worker or guild representative who has committed no other crimes during this period.
That's you, kid.
You can't do this.
You're right, I couldn't, until you convinced the Senate to invoke the Rush Act. You should never hand someone a gun unless you're sure where they'll point it. Your mistake.